Hi, my name is Alana S., and this is the Anonymous Us podcast. The first story is called, We Used a Donor and a Surrogate to Have Twins. My husband and I met and married late. I was in my 40s and he was 14 years younger. We wanted children and I got pregnant right away, but had a miscarriage. Nothing happened after that, so we consulted various fertility specialists and went through various procedures and mishaps. After the fifth specialist, we gave up hope of having our own child. By then, I had developed another medical condition which made it impossible to even carry a child. After I met a friend who adopted a child, we decided to do the same thing and visited two adoption agencies. I also used the internet to search for more adoption info. It was while looking for adoption info that I came across egg donation and surrogacy. Before that, what we knew about surrogacy was related to the Baby M case, i.e., the surrogate mother decided to keep the child she was carrying. Since the baby was also her genetic offspring, the courts granted her visitation rights. We did not want to take this risk, so ruled out surrogacy. By using an egg donor as well as a surrogate, we would not run this risk. I also was concerned that our future child might resent not knowing about his or her genetic background, so I made sure that the egg donor and surrogate would be open to contact. We were fortunate. We have beautiful and healthy twins. We've kept in touch with the donor and the surrogate and set up a website where they and the twins' grandparents can see photos and get updates. The kids met their donor last year, but they were too little to remember, so we took lots of photos. When they get older, we plan to take them to meet their surrogate as well as their donor again and resolve any questions they might have. Finally, I'd like to address the issue of egg and sperm donors giving their babies, their quote-unquote babies, away by donating ova and sperm. An ovum and a sperm do not equal a human embryo or a baby. They are needed to make babies, as are carriers or surrogates, but they in themselves are not babies. I really appreciated this story. I feel for the parents, and I do think it is a good example of a lot of well intentions that still represent a big, bad concept. The parent says these donors aren't selling away their babies, they're just selling away their sperm and eggs. Well, if you sell plutonium, is that not essentially the same thing as selling the essential ingredient in an atomic bomb? These things can't be separated. Nobody wants an egg for an egg's sake. Nobody wants a sperm for a sperm's sake. What they want is a baby, and what they're buying is a baby, even though it doesn't quite look like one at the point of purchase. Now, the next story is a little bit of a different tone. It's called Phony Bastards and Quasi-Marital Kids. I've helped reunite roughly 200 families for free since 1997, so I've seen an awful lot of falsified birth certificates. Turns out that adopted people don't have the market cornered on birth certificates containing false and misleading information. For some, there is no sealed original certificate containing the names of their real parents. For them, there is no record of the truth except the blood in their veins and the unfamiliar face in the mirror. Falsification comes in the form of a certificate that lists no father, as if that were even a remote possibility. Fatherless? Really? No man reproduced to create that child? No man owes that child his support. No man is responsible for raising that child to adulthood. Why not put father unknown so that if he does ever turn up, his name can be entered and he can be obligated to support his child? Why should there be a time limit for unmarried men to claim their children? How can children be adopted out from under fathers who didn't even know that their children existed until too late? Why is it possible to adopt a child without the signed consent of the father and the woman who gave birth? Birth certificate falsification most often starts with the concept of a phony bastard who needs a father. Not their father, mind you, because just any father will do. Every child has a father that creates them, and it's him that has a duty to support his child, and nobody should interfere with his performance of that duty. Oh, but they do interfere, and when they do, the child ends up not related to the man named his father on their birth certificate. Quasi-marital kids, it's where the stepfather is named on the birth certificates of his wife's children. Quasi-marital children are not adopted by their stepfathers. There's no proof that their own fathers even know that they exist, let alone consented to allow their stepfather to raise them. Many who call themselves donor-conceived are just quasi-marital kids, related to the mother on their certificates, but not to the father named on their certificates. There's no proof that the man that made them intended to make them. There's no signed consent to show them that their father intended to abandon them, to be raised in exile from their paternal families. There's no proof. None at all. Willing to be known? When? 18 years after birth? A donor number? Really? How do they know for sure that donor's DNA will match the kid holding the ticket with his number on it? What if it doesn't? What then? What if their father is another patient at the same clinic and not some altruistic baby thunder offer? What if all the profile sheets are nothing more than creative writing by medical secretaries working their way through night school? There's no proof. There's no consent. Quasi-marital kids and phony bastards. Remember that. Those kids have no voice and they need one. They've lost their father's and they need one because they've lost their father's family as well. Anyone considering starting a family of their own using someone else's genes should understand that you cannot buy claim to someone else's child. It does not matter how early you insert yourself in the process, it's not early enough to make it be you that reproduces and not them. Artificial reproduction does not make artificial children, it makes artificial parents for real children that already have parents. Remember that too. They will have a sense that they were abandoned even though they did not exist when the sperm or eggs were traded, because motherhood and fatherhood for those people would not start until they were born anyway. They sign papers saying that they relinquish their parental rights upon the birth of any child of their donation. The child's parents still chose not to raise them. There is not a man on earth that becomes a father when he deposits his sperm. It makes no difference if the deposit is made to a sperm bank or a vagina. Men become fathers when their children are born. Women become mothers when their children are born. If you are related to a child as that child's parent, you are that child's parent, and it makes not a bit of difference what the law says or what the people raising your child think. If you are thinking of donating your eggs or your sperm, remember that you would not be a parent until the birth of your child anyway. When your children are born, it won't matter how they came to originate from you. A father is just as much the father of his children if they have the same mother as if they have all different mothers. The tragedy is that this society does not treat the children that way. I've seen some very happy reunions, people that called themselves donor-conceived that were really just quasi-marital kids, letting the donor number fall by the wayside and start referring to their donor as their father, because that is what he always was. Lots of reunions turning fatherless children into the sons and daughters they are. Maybe some people search and get the door slammed in their faces. I've never seen it happen. I've only seen truth bring peace. Sure, over time you might not always get along, but that is family. Good luck finding yours. Truth and peace, that is. Thank you to the author for writing that. We'll be back with more episodes next week. I had a traveling bout that made it difficult for me to make podcasts, and also my computer was stolen, so I didn't have the software that I needed to make podcasts. But we've got a new computer, and I'm back in Brooklyn, and ready for fall and Christmas and years of podcasts to come. So thank you for listening. This is the Anonymous Us Project.